Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome all to another episode of the FSHD Straight Talk podcast. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and thank you for being here again. It's so great to have all you listening, watching, and so forth. Another fantastic interview is set up. I think they all are fantastic, to be quite honest with you. One gets better after the next. Kendra from Idaho is going to be our guest today. She talks a little bit about the Walk and Roll event that's happening there on the 27th of September. I want to plug that. She's also trying to raise money for that event. So plug away, help her out. The goal, I think, for the Walk and Roll is 10 grand. I think you guys can help blow that number out of the water. We talk about a ton of other topics. This is just a really great conversation, casual conversation, almost as if we're having it in our living room. It was fantastic to have her with. If you want to be on the show, topics we haven't talked about and you wish we would, FSHDradio@FSHDsociety.org. It's something you want to ask me. I'm happy to answer it, but that's the vessel to use. You can also follow me on social if you want personally. I don't mind. I'm on the Facebooks and whatnots and all that. Good luck finding me, but I'm there. You can do that. Also follow FSHD Society, FSHDsociety.org. Visit the website. All the information on the walk and rolls that are happening in September are there. If you want to be part of a chapter group, if you want to be part of other groups, they all have the calendar of events happening there as well. And anything latest and greatest in the news, because there's a lot of positive things coming through in our community. We have a lot of great research happening. We have a lot of great drug development things happening. You really have to read those articles and share that information with everybody in the community. Might not be everybody knows where to find it. I would visit FSHDsociety.org site and kind of keep that as your main place. And always thank them for helping get this episode and every episode on. So the things I really want you to listen for within this episode is we talk about faith. We talk a little bit, but maybe be more spiritual than religious, which is interesting as we talk about that. We do venture slightly into some of the things that she does, Kendra does, to kind of help herself, like physical therapy and so forth. We're going to have her on another episode, get a deeper dive into more of those things. But we really kind of cover the loss of her brother, who also had FSHD, passed away at a very young age. Talking about how she's now older than he was when he passed and what that moment's like. Her way of having these like mantras of thinking about what she's grateful for, not necessarily sitting in what she's negative about, sitting in that mindset. She says she doesn't sit in those moments, or she only sits in those moments, excuse me. She does not live in them. She only sits in those moments and kind of moves on. Really good advice she gives. Great advice she gives at the end as well about if you're someone newly diagnosed. I'd love to ask that question because the perspectives can be so drastically different from one person's point of view to another. And hopefully there's some great nuggets of information that she can offer for those that are recently diagnosed, or maybe even throughout this episode. I think even those, all of us that have lived with this disease for so long or being aware of it longer maybe than others, her story is definitely touching. And the way she talks about her husband, Justin, is also deeply touching. And I really hope we all have somebody like that in our life, the way that she reacted when we talked about that relationship. So many good things in store. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know I did. I loved hosting it. I loved talking with her. She was a fantastic person. We will have her on again. So if you love this episode, don't worry. There'll be a part two at some point in the future. So without further delay, this is the conversation I had with Kendra from Idaho. Hi, everyone. I've got some exciting news for you from the FSHD community. If you've ever felt the unpredictability of FSHD or wish there was more accurate research and information out there, and I know you have, then listen up. I'm thrilled to tell you about Better Life FSHD, a groundbreaking new research platform from the FSHD Society that's changing the game for those of us living with FSHD. Better Life is your one-stop hub for tracking symptoms, accessing personalized resources like articles and videos, relevant to you. And the best part, as you take surveys and track your symptoms, you provide FSHD researchers with better data to understand this complex, understudied disease. And a better understanding can lead to faster treatments, something everyone, every one of us can get behind. So head over to betterlifefshd.org and join the study. It only takes a minute to get signed up. Together, we can change the future for everyone affected by FSHD. I've done this. It's a simple process. I challenge you to do the same. Again, that's betterlifefshd.org. Now let's get back to the show. As promised, a great interview we have here with Kendra, who has FSHD. I believe, Kendra, you're in the Idaho area. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. I'm in Shelley, Idaho. It's just a little bit south of Idaho Falls.
Okay. Nice. That's a nice part of the country. I have a friend that I grew up with, and then he moved that direction and kind of settled in there. He loves it.
Yeah, no, we love it here. It's a little bit in the country, so we live on an acre of land we built like 4 years ago. So
nice.
It's been amazing. Love it. I work from home too, and have a nice little window that I get to look out. You see me looking out that way. It's because I'm looking out my window in my office. It's a really beautiful view out here. So yeah, it's awesome.
That's what I've heard. Like a lot of, I've not visited my friend out there. I should, but
You should.
Picturesque is what I hear, and like it's just beautiful. How are the winters there? I know I'm in Wisconsin, so north, and it's, you know, definitely more east, but people say, you know, middle of the country, so to speak, but we get kind of hammered with cold weather and snow from time to time.
Yeah, definitely.
Or your winters there.
Yeah, we get a decent amount of snow, but it does depend on the year. Like this last winter was not bad at all. Like it wasn't bad at all, but then the winter before, we had snow in like April. And it like snow on the ground in, I think it went into even May that it took it to like actually kind of melt. So yeah, we can have some kind of rough winters for sure.
Yeah. I think when I was younger, winters were fine. I could sled back when my legs were better. I could do some type of activity to kill the time. Felt like a whole different life, like somebody else's life when I was doing that.
How did I do that? How did I do that again? Now it's like you can't even imagine it. Yeah.
I can't imagine myself on skates now. That would be hilarious. Yeah. I should film that. That'd be a whole podcast episode.
That'd be entertaining, I'm sure.
So you were diagnosed at 9 years old, if my research tells me right. And a little bit in your family, of course, but I'll have you kind of share that. Like, you know, tell us a little about the background with family with FSHD, if there's any, and then your FSHD story, you know, your diagnosis and things. So I think a lot of people love or like to hear about that. It's relatable, inspirational, and so forth.
Yeah. So I was diagnosed when I was 9, but I knew long before that I had FSH because my brother, so I have an older brother that's 6 years older than me. And when he was 6, my parents were pregnant with me and my twin sister, they did some testing on my brother and found out that he had FSHD. And they said, you know, you might want to think about having other children because this is something that can be passed on. And my mom was like, well, I mean, a little late for that. We're pregnant. So, and then they think that my dad might have it. So they had me and my sister is not affected. And then I have one other sister who's also not affected.
Okay.
So I think there's like 50, it's like a 50% chance of getting it. And so we were those odds with 2 out of the 4 of us had it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's directly the odds.
Exactly. So I followed some of the same traits. Obviously my face is pretty affected. So they noticed that, and then it just kind of progressed through my body over the years. So I knew I had it long before I was 9. That was just the official test to confirm that I have it.
So would you kind of consider what we kind of say now, like early onset? Would you, are you kind of qualified then within that?
Yes,
Yeah.
definitely. Yeah. And then my brother as well, he was even more so affected. So, I mean, obviously, if he's getting tested at 6 years old, then, that's
Yeah.
super young.
Must be something
So,
significant. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. So, he was in a wheelchair by the time that he was 12. And then he just, it just ravaged his body and he passed away when he was 29.
Goodness. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
he was, no,
Sorry.
thank you. Yeah, so young. It's like now that I am 30, I'm older than him. I'm 31. I'm older than he was when he passed away. And it's like you really realize how truly young 29 is. Like it is so young, so young. I feel like my life is just starting. And so you just, being 6 years younger than he was at the time, you know it's young, but once you get to the age, because you're like when you're in your 20s, you're like 30 is old. It's not, it is
Right.
not
Yeah.
old.
No, it's not. No, I can
No,
totally
no.
relate to that too. Yeah, like my brother passed when he was 53 and I'm 50. So I get that same sense, like I'm walking into like kind of
Yes.
that age. He didn't
Right.
have
Yeah.
FSHD, he died of other reasons, but still
Okay.
like your point is well taken. Like you're right. Like you hit that age where that loved one passed and you're like, it almost feels like uncharted
Oh,
waters a little bit, or
yes,
you know,
100%.
yeah. It's
Yeah, it's weird. It's a
it
really
is.
cool thing. Yeah.
So with your brother having it, pass away at 29, you're right. Way too young, of course. How did, I guess, like how I'm imagining those times were very difficult. But him being, you said 6 years older, right, than yourself.
Yes,
So
correct.
at that age when that was happening, especially for those that might be dealing with something similar, how do you recall how you worked on coping with it? Using air quotes for those that are only listening.
I honestly, a lot of it came after the fact. It's like I almost in the moment, I didn't really know how to process it. Like it was, I almost think I was maybe in a little bit of denial about it. Because he had a dark sense of humor. And so he would always like make jokes about him, I'm not gonna be here and all that. And I never took it seriously. I'm like, yeah, you are. Shut the hell up. I'm like, you're gonna be here.
Right.
But
Stop it. Yeah.
but now I get it a little bit more now. I think it was almost a little bit of like him prepping him and us in a way. And so I think that I just in the moment, I think I was in denial. And then when he passed away is kind of when things changed for me. And it took me a long time to really get to the point that I could talk about my own FSH and like really feel the emotions with losing him. Because I never talked about having FSH, like unless it came up, like, and I would cry. I didn't process it well. So, like, to answer your question, I didn't do a good job at it. But
I'd imagine. Yeah.
it took me until my 20s after he passed away to really figure out how to handle it. And I'm still learning every single day, but I've learned to, when I feel, when those emotions come up, to feel them and sit in them, but not live in them. Like you don't want to just
Yeah, I
dwell
like that.
in
Yeah.
those feelings. And so I got to the point that I at least feel it. 'Cause like the first year after he died, I barely cried. I didn't feel it. I think that that was just my mind's way of like protecting itself, and I didn't feel it. It was the weirdest thing. So I just, I think my mind, I just couldn't handle it, and so I
Yeah.
just it protected itself. But you can only do that for so long because it's gonna come up. Like it's gonna come up where you gotta deal with it.
Right.
And so something that has helped me is like to talk about it. And it was never like I always felt comfortable talking about him. In his life, because he was such an amazing individual, he did so many amazing things. And so I could talk about that, but I just like it, I struggled with just facing my emotions about losing him. And then now that I've progressed, because I've progressed a lot more after he's passed, I'm like, how the hell did he do this? And I wish I would have asked him these questions. And because, wow, he was one tough, like he was just so tough.
Yeah, you said, I think, man, when I was kind of poking around at like some of your posts, that you kind of admired his like resilience. I think you
Yeah.
used that word, you know.
Yeah, he was so resilient. He went and lived on his own after high school. He got a degree in computer engineering. And just the fact that he lived alone because of how weak he was is just like a feat in and of itself. So he was just pure grit. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know how he did it because
Wow.
I'm way less affected than him. And I'm like, I just am amazed at his, it's ironic, his utter strength.
Yeah, well, and clearly with what sounds like what he accomplished academically and so forth and his job, like, sounds like a pretty smart guy, right? And probably was a
Yeah,
good adapter,
absolutely.
I would imagine, and probably figured out how to do certain things his way to manage. But you know, we all know it's you find you have to adapt, and you have to do these things as the disease takes certain things away, but you almost get irritated the fact that you have to do those things. Like you have to why do I have to deal with this? Do you ever have like those, you know, more darker moments of like, man, I'm sick of this. You know, this is like, how did I get this hand dealt right to me? We get one shot at this life, if you believe that. And this is what I got. You know, I think that a lot of people think that way. Have you ever kind of had your mind venture to the negatives?
100%. Yeah. Speaking of adapting, it is, it's constantly adapting and it's a constant grief cycle because you get to a point where you get a weakness and you're like, okay, you go, I feel like you go through the steps of grief and you get to the point that you accept it and then you get another weakness. And sometimes you don't even realize. Like, I didn't realize that I was getting weaker until I did something that I could do before that I can't do now. And so then it just feels like a grief cycle over and over and over again. But yes, I've gotten into dark places, especially this year. I got into like a pretty dark place where things just got a lot harder, where it was like affecting my independence. And so, where it was like taking away that piece, I got to a place that was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I wasn't like I was suicidal, but I was just like, I'm done. And so, and a lot of people don't even know that. Like, really, my husband was the one who saw that. But,
The spouses see a lot, right?
yeah,
I mean, or
they
your
do. They
partner in
do.
your life with this. It's like they might as sometimes I say, like, my wife might as well have it. I mean, I can only imagine that side of that different kind of frustration. Like they want to help you. You know, they want to take it away from you, but they can't. And that they have to witness the downfall, right? And
And
hard.
honestly, I feel like that might be worse, like watching it, because you feel so like helpless. Whereas being the person that has it, I like feel like I'm more in control. Like I'm the one that has control over my feelings about it. Like it's harder for me to watch someone that I love go through something hard than to do it myself. And so I'm like, I'd rather have it myself and be the one to go through it. But the thing that picked me up is honestly just like my mindset. And I have an amazing support system. And even though everyone might not know those, dirty details, they pick me up in other ways, But I just got to the point that I'm like, you know what? Like, this is the hand that I was dealt, and sitting and wallowing in it is not going to do me any good. So, and obviously that's a hard thing to do, to be like, because it takes some mind work to get to that place where you are more positive, because it's, I think that you kind of have to rewire your brain a little bit. And so, and I'm still working on it. But I'm just more positive, and I am constantly praying and saying what I'm grateful for, even if it's just in my head. I just say about all the things that I am grateful for. And I think that's just kind of put me on a different, more positive path. And like, it's still hard. Like, I'm gonna maybe continue to lose. I am seeing a personal trainer, side note. So I'm hoping that I don't continue to lose. But if I do, then it's just like all I can do is just have a positive mindset about it, because I think it almost, I think, makes it worse if you're negative. I think that it almost, I wouldn't be surprised if it led to even further
Yeah, totally. I think I
decline.
am more sore and more in pain when my mind is more negative. That's what I find. And then it just fuels it. And then it's like this vicious cycle. I kind of live like my world. I always break it down, and maybe it's like too simplistic, but it's like, dude, it's just choices. It's this or it's that. Like, just you know, most of the time it's very obvious which way you have to go. But it's still a choice. And it's like, swing my legs out from the bed. Am I putting my feet down and going for it again today? Let's figure out what this is going to be. Or am I just going to go back to bed? You know, it's like, it's a choice from the time you wake up to the time that you know, end the day, start again. You know, it's like, there's choices throughout your day, and you're, you know,
Absolutely.
constantly trying to navigate all those negative things or things that you notice. Like, wait a minute, I used to do that a week ago a lot easier than I can now. Like, I've noticed I used to tie my shoes a lot faster than I do now. I'm like, oh, shoot. I can
Yes.
see the storm coming. I'm like, yeah, my dexterity and my hands are not as fast in doing something like that, you know, or I fumble. You know, I'm like, uh-oh, you know, it might be working on my hands a little bit. And I think a lot of people see that. And then it's like this, like a grief forecast. Like, oh boy, like this looks like this might be taken away. So how do you make the choice to keep going, or do you just live in denial for a while? When you see something, I guess, that you used to do, and maybe, or you still can do, but yet you maybe kind of see you might not be able to soon. How do you handle that? Like, do you prepare? Are you more of a prepare type person, Kendra? Or are you more of a, well, you know, I'll deal with it when I have to?
Yeah, I'm kind of a, I'll deal with it when I have to, because I'm like, I had a situation where I could tell my right leg, the foot drop. I could tell I was starting to experience that loss of that muscle in the front of my leg. And I'm sure people that are listening know what foot drop is, but in case someone doesn't, the muscle that's in charge of keeping your foot up lifts your foot so that you, when you're walking, heel the toe, it affects it so that you just kind of drag. You can't really hold your toes up. So I could feel that that was happening, and I tried to prepare for it. I tried to like kind of work on it, and I still lost it. And so I think I'm just like, what do you do to prepare? I'm the kind of person that's like, you know what? I'm just gonna roll with it when it comes, because I don't know when it's gonna happen. And I don't know how bad it's going to be. So why am I going to waste my energy on something that I can't really do a whole lot about? So So I am trying to take steps to prevent that weakness, as you know, like I said, seeing a personal trainer. But other, you know, things that I can't control, I try not to dwell on them too much.
That's good. I mean, that's a good attitude. I think it's kind of a win, right? Either way, but people go, it's like a coping mechanism. They want to cope with it now in a way that they can kind of prepare, or others are like, you know what? I know it's coming. I'll figure it out when I get to that point. I'll adapt when I have to, and that makes them feel better about it. And I think it's, yeah, it's all depends on the person.
Absolutely.
When it comes then to, you know, as we all experience loss of functions and so forth, for me, I've always felt like, soon as I was diagnosed, if I swear I heard like a stopwatch start or a countdown, and I don't even know when the end countdown is, but it was just more, I felt more mortal, right? I just felt like this was my something discovered, and it's going to affect me. This is an inevitable thing. And then I felt like I was in a massive race to do whatever possible as soon as possible and trying to keep that pace because I was diagnosed a lot later than you were. I was diagnosed when I was 40, but I could look back and probably like early, like late teenage years, and even in my 20s, I was probably experiencing some things.
Right.
At any rate, so like I thought, oh, like I'm going to lose this and this, so I better start doing this, or I better, or whatever I'm working on, or whatever I'm trying to achieve, I better have it at a spot where it's like set. It's good. It's done. Do you feel that way? Like you got to hurry, do things you have to do now.
I definitely felt like I needed to like travel and do those sort of things. That was like the big thing for me, is like I wanted to travel. And I think that the stopwatch started for me after my brother died. I don't think that I really, again, I think it was like a denial thing. I didn't really have that until after he died. And then it was kind of like, this is like a real thing. Like, this is, it just made it really real after he passed away. So I wanted to go and do things and see the world. Now, I didn't have all the money to do that. And so it's actually happened more in the last couple of years that I've been able to travel. And but now I'm using a wheelchair when I leave the house. It just is a little bit safer. I'm not having to rely on other people to, do things. So I feel like that's actually opened up more opportunities for me. So if I, if I had traveled in my younger 20s, then I could have been a little bit more active on the vacation and done a little bit more. So like my honeymoon, we went to Mexico, and I was not very affected then. And so it, I could do a lot more things then than I could now. But now that I'm using a wheelchair, I can go. I mean, gosh, I put on so many miles on that wheelchair and
Nice.
a lot of different places. So yeah, started to do a little bit more traveling over the last couple of years. And I think it's just learning how to travel with the abilities that you have at the time. So I think the stopwatch is like a little bit slowed down for me in a good way of like, it's okay. Like I can still do it. It's just going to be a little bit different. And I'm just going to have to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So you kind of took more control of the situation by using the tools. Were you when you transitioned to the wheelchair, or having to use it more often, because you don't use it all the time, it sounds like, but in those situations you explained, was it did it how did it feel though when you realized, okay, I'm gonna have to use a wheelchair more often? Did it feel like defeat, like it would for me, or did it feel like, okay, this is fine, this is what I got to do?
It was really tough, and I was very stubborn about it. I did not want to use it. I've always been that way. In It was about like third grade. Back then, it was like save your body. And so my parents got me a wheelchair and wanted me to use it at school to save my body. And as we know, that's not what we know about it anymore, but back then that was the case. And I think I used the wheelchair for like a week. I was very like anti-wheelchair. I didn't want to use it for a week, but I also had a healthy body. It's like, I mean, not healthy, but you know what I'm saying. Like I could do a lot more at that age. Like I was fine, didn't need it. So didn't use it after that. So very like, I don't want to get to that point. And it would give me massive anxiety the times that I would use a wheelchair, because I would use it here and there in certain situations, like when I had a surgery, I used it, or as I started to get weaker, if I was like going to the mall, I'd use a manual wheelchair and have someone push me. And I remember going to the mall in that manual wheelchair once, and I just had massive anxiety about it, because it was almost like, I'm gonna see people that I know, and they're gonna wonder what the heck, and like, and they're not gonna see me the same. And I think it was that, along with, okay, now I'm losing more independence. I'm having to use this chair instead of being independent and walk. So it was a very challenging switch for me. But the time that I was in the mall, I'm sorry, I was gonna say something about that. I saw someone that I knew, and she came and gave me a huge hug, and was
Wow.
super sweet. And then I'm like, you know what? It's and the anxiety did not end there, but it just
Okay.
helped. Like, you
Yeah.
know, like people aren't gonna see you differently. And if they do, then that's their business. It's not
Yeah, and like,
my
and how do
problem.
you really want that person maybe real close to, in your life then?
Right.
Right? I mean,
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then I started using the wheelchair more. And I think that we just know how to adapt. And so, like, even though I wasn't like actively doing a whole lot to like get through that anxiety, I think sometimes you just realize you don't have a choice
yeah.
and you just get through it. And I think it just becomes your norm. And so for me now, the anxiety, like if I hadn't gotten through that, if I had continued to have anxiety, I think I would have tried to like do, you know, a little bit of mind work to get through that. But honestly, I think it just got to the point that I was like, hey, this is just my new norm. And I've also realized that sometimes, you know, the people staring are just curious. It doesn't mean they're thinking something negatively about you. And I don't know why my mind immediately goes to that. But
Right.
it's like, it's just because someone's staring at you. Like, again, none of my business. They can think what they want. They don't know me and they're thinking something that might hurt my feelings. Like, it's just not my business. So,
Yeah.
yeah, that's kind of how I've gotten through it. So I don't really think much about it anymore. It doesn't give me the anxiety the way it did. And I think it also gave me independence. And so I had this positive that came with it
Right.
that was like, okay, I can actually do actually more on my own because I would have to hold on to someone when
Yeah.
I was walking. And then like if they had to open the door for me, I'd have to be very careful not to like fall as I'm not holding on to someone. And so now I have this independence and now they have independence. Like my poor husband and family, they're not having to
Don't
hold on
worry
to
about
me
you
anytime
falling.
they, yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah. So it gave me positives, even though it was a hard thing, it was also a good thing that was, I had to, you know, I had to get there and I was very stubborn about it. And it took me a while. It took my mom being like, we're gonna buy you a wheelchair that I finally was like, okay. So yeah, then I did it and no regrets.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Like people think it's going to be this big negative, but it turns out it gives them more freedom than they thought.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you have
Yes.
to adapt to whatever that is, getting through a life with it instead of thinking it's
Yes.
just going to be another barrier you have to overcome.
Right.
You mentioned and like, you know, I correct me if I'm wrong. I know you had like a blog you used to write on, right? For like a
Yes.
years ago. And if you don't mind, I kind of looked at those a little bit because I thought they were very intriguing posts. And you brought up the anxiety of, you know, being in a wheelchair and what people would think. And you kind of touched on that in like some of those past blog posts of like, you know, you talked about an airplane situation. You talked about, you know, just that, like that like social anxiety I think a lot of us get because there's for some of us, there's like subtle differences of how we walk or move, and in others, it's a little more dramatic or very obvious. Either way, it almost feels like, at least for me, like I'm almost trying to mask the way I walk. Like I'm very conscious, like, no, I'm going to try to walk like a normal person until I see normal person, until I see myself and I'm like, that's how I walk? I look
Oh,
ridiculous. I look
yeah.
ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get more, like more self-conscious. And,
Yeah.
you know, has like how as you've gotten older, you know, through the years adjusting to things, obviously you've talked about the wheelchair and like, you know, some of it is right, that maturity of just getting older and realizing that there is positives to these things. How have you adjusted from when you were younger dealing with that self-conscious, you know, the way the disease has affected you, how people see it, those that don't know, you know, what are they thinking, you know, all those things that seem to attack us in a negative way, and then we don't feel so great about ourselves. How have you coped with that from then to now of who you are?
Yeah, I actually got more self-conscious about it as I got
Really?
older.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, as a kid, you're not thinking about those things the way that like an adult would. You're not
Point. Yeah.
thinking about it that same way. And so as you get older, you know, you're in school, people say things, you hear what people are talking about you. You become, you know, you internalize that. And so I got more self-conscious because it was like you just the
Get
comments
more
that I
aware of it.
yeah, people are aware of it. And so then I'm like, oh, Okay, I guess I didn't realize that I did that or I looked that way or like, so I guess that's something that I should be thinking about. What's wrong with me? So, yeah, I ended up getting more self-conscious over the years. And then I think it really helped when I just started to talk about it in my 20s because people are better than you think that they are. And you give them a chance to understand, you know, because some people just don't realize how big of an, can I say asshole?
Sure.
how big of an asshole they sound like. They just don't realize. And so it's like, I feel like if they understand, then it changes the situation. But
Right.
sometimes they don't deserve that. Sometimes they, you know, you don't have to explain that. They don't always get to deserve that, you know, the whole reason behind why you look a certain way or you walk a certain way. You know, because I know I would never look at someone and comment on it on their appearance or
Right.
think that I have business to understand that. And I think that's maybe just my
Well, you're more empathetic.
experience with living with it and having a family member that has it. I think that I look at those situations a little bit differently. But I think I touched on it a little bit where I just try to get to the point that it's like it's not my business. Like they can think what they want. And if they love me and, you know, we have a good relationship, then I just don't think that like someone that I'm close with, I care what they think, but they're not going to think like the negative things that hurt my feelings, if that makes sense.
It does. I mean, I get people that have known me for a while, from even before diagnosis. They're totally shocked that I even have this, blah, 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 and all that. And then there's the more recent relationships where they don't know, and then I tell them, and they're like, "What?" And then they're like, "Oh, that does explain a couple things." And I always think,
Yeah.
why didn't you ask me? But I'm like, okay, maybe you don't want to. I don't know if I would either. But I always find myself, my style, and we're gonna have this in an upcoming episode. So, here's a plug for another podcast episode coming up. But like about like the storytelling. I always ask people, when we start episodes, tell us your FSHD story. But to the interaction I have with other people. So if I stumble, like I was on a vacation and in the Dominican Republic during spring break, and it was for my oldest son and his class. He was a senior, so this is what we were doing. I'm like, okay, I don't really love traveling, and it was all this stuff. Well, we had a very hectic day, and I was tired, and we were walking back to the hotel, and I have dropped foot on my left foot, not wearing any brace or anything. I catch my foot, down goes Tim, and people around me, right? I feel really stupid, of course, and then. And then everybody's like, "Oh, are you okay? Oh, it's slippery out here," someone says. And I went, "No." I said, "No, it's just my FSHD." And they're like, "Oh,
Good for you.
that's kind of what it is." I'm like, "But thank you, for trying to insert an excuse to make me feel a little better about falling. Like, hey, it's all right."
Yeah.
That was their coping mechanism for seeing something a little bit odd, that a grown ass man that seems to be fine just fell down when there's no ice or anything, right? It's nice out, and I'm like, "No, it's like this." And like when I hit people with it like that, sometimes it comes across like a slap in the face, like, "Whoa, that's a lot of reality," right? For me. And then I also get people that say, "What is that?" And they're curious. And then I find that as an opportunity to educate. So I
Yeah.
quickly give my spiel about what it is and what it does. And I also say it's not MS, because I always get people that get it confused.
Yeah.
And I make it quick and short and sweet and then be done. And then I just let them decide how they want to carry on the conversation, if at all, with that information. So I'm more of a, wear it on my sleeve kind of thing. I almost want to get another tattoo that says I have FSH. It's like,
I love
ask me
it.
why. You know what I mean? Like, let me
Yeah.
just say what this is. And but yeah, I have other people, when I've said that's my style of telling people that stuff, they're like, "Oh yeah, I don't go about it that way." So my question is, after this big, big story I just gave you, is when those situations happen to you in front of people that they don't know you and they don't know what you have, and if they happen to question it or something like that, what's your response? Like, how do you address people that ask?
Yeah, I started to just like I had someone that I worked with her when I was getting married. She helped me with my wedding dress. She worked at a wedding shop.
Okay.
And at that point, I was not using a wheelchair. So then she sees me several years later and she's like, "What happened?" And so I just told her, I was like, I have a disease that it's muscular dystrophy, and it is a progressive disease. So I've just gotten to the point that my muscles have deteriorated and I need a wheelchair. I was not always that way. I used to like kind of shut down. As I said, I wasn't able to really like talk about it. And so like it would like, oh, that would just like give me a bristle response. Like I hated it. I hated it. I didn't know how to deal with it. But nowadays I would just bring it up. Now, if I but the way that you approach it, like if someone said it was slippery outside, I would just been like, yeah. Like I love your response to it. That you're like, no, it's at the same
No, it's
speed.
not.
Yeah. See, and I love that. I
Like I'm
think like I want to be more like that. I need to get to that point that it's like, yeah, it's FSHD. I'm not making any excuses. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's like a bad roommate, I say, right? It makes me fall
Makes
down and doesn't clean up after
you
itself.
fall down. Yeah.
It's like I
Right.
didn't do it. It did it. It made me do it. It's not my
It
fault.
didn't. It's not
Yeah,
me. It's
not
the
me.
disease.
Not me. Yeah, because I feel like there's like power in that. It's power to take control of the story,
Yeah.
the narrative, the reason. It is yours, to deliver. Don't let them guess. Because I really live in, by the principle of if there's no communication, negativity will fill it. So if I said nothing, I would feel negative, right? They're judging me. They're making fun of me. I'm feeling a whole story of negative
Yeah.
response, even though they might have been empathetic or help me up or whatever the case may be. If I don't address it and fill it with information, I feel like it's just negative. It's kind of like if I didn't talk to my wife all day or you didn't talk to Justin all day long, he'd immediately think, right? I did something wrong.
Something's wrong. Yeah. Why are you mad at me?
Why are you mad at me? Even though you didn't say anything, it might not be him at
Right.
all. So to me, sometimes communication helps kind
Yeah.
of bridge. But then when I tell the people what it is, then I find myself immediately like softening the blow I just delivered to them.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I want to make them feel better about my
Right.
situation that I'm living in, right?
Right. And then it's like, why do I owe that? Like, I didn't say you look like garbage. I said I have FSHD. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why sometimes I'm like, I'll just leave it. But in like a situation where someone straight up asks like what happened, or like the airplane situation when they were straight up being just cruel, that I didn't give a crap how I made them feel, because it's
Oh, that
like,
was terrible. I had a
yeah.
hard time reading that. I'm not gonna lie. It was like,
Yeah.
oh my God, what an asshole. Like, what is
Yeah.
this? Is
Yeah.
she had to deal with this? I can't believe this.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not a great situation.
No, that
But you
sounded
know what?
horrible.
It made me, they took me, it all my guts to stand up to them. And then I was like, you know what? If that happens again, then I will do that. And I was like, with a shaky voice, I was trying not to cry, and I'm like, next time I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna be shaky about it. And not a situation like that hasn't happened since then, but it took
Them for those
everything
that
in
are like,
me.
what are they talking about?
Yeah.
You're a blog. I'm searching for the title. What was it called? I'm sorry. Remember?
From the soul, and I don't write in
Soul.
it
Yeah, yeah. You
anymore. It was
don't.
very
No.
brief, but yes, from the soul.
But it was interesting stories nonetheless. And it was powerful, especially that one. But you're right. Like I always felt like I was bullied in high school pretty aggressively until I had to kind of like, okay, that's enough. So I've kind of taken that way, that path when I feel like that feeling comes back. Like if I'm being bullied or picked on or questioned of who I am or why I am, I immediately like get very defensive, of course, and like the chip on my shoulder arrives. And I always then shine the light on the bully. I think if I shine the light on your bad behavior, it just absolutely like it's like the cockroaches when you turn the lights on, they all go scatter. It's the same kind of feeling like, yeah, buddy, like this isn't gonna bother me. Like, so I'll call them out. I'll say, why
Yeah.
are you being a jackass? I have this. What's your excuse for falling? You know what I mean? Like, or
Yeah.
something like that, where I'm aggressively like, I'm gonna stick it to you.
Yeah.
And because then I shine the light on the fact that it's your bad behavior, not mine, that is the problem here. And in most cases, I'm talking like 95% plus, it works.
Yeah.
They immediately back down. They're all apologetic. You shine the light on their bad behavior, and they're like, oh. Yeah, at the same time, that other 5%, I'm sure there's some people who are going, wow, that Tim is a real jerk. He's a real jerk. Oh, how he dealt with that. But okay, fine. But it's like, To me, that's my coping mechanism. If it's positive or negative, I don't know. And it is aggressive. And I don't think everybody's like that because it could lead to a negative response even back, right? And this could be a tit for tat kind of situation. It's never happened that way, but I suppose it could. So yeah, like how you dealt with those people that are making the comments on an airplane about your facial, right? They were like, what is this? And why does, you know? And I think a lot of people where the FSH has affected those muscles, it is very obvious you're very self-conscious, right? I mean, the face is everything. People would probably agree, you know. Even the marketing world, like the way we look and the way we act, but especially the looks. Everything's about the looks. If you look different than someone else, what's going on? Or me as a man, I don't have muscles. What do you mean you don't have muscles? You know, I don't know how many times I was asked, like at a grocery store, because I can't reach very high at all. And if I'm grocery shopping with my wife, like an older woman that's shorter than me will go, sir, could you help me get that thing from the top shelf? And I'm like, I kind of look at my wife. She goes, I got it. And she's short too. And she's like, I can get it. I'm like, I'll figure it out. But it's just like, it's funny because they think by just quickly looking at you, you're capable of doing this a task I'm asking you to do. And then if you can't, you feel kind of bad about it. And so, yeah, it is an interesting thing.
And as a man, I always wonder about that, being on the flip side of, you're always seen as like the strong one. And I always wonder how that, affected my brother, because it's just like a stereotype of, you're a
For
man
sure.
and you get the heavy things off the highest shelf, and you carry all the things, and imagine that's
Or you
hard.
should be, you know, emotionally strong and all those kind of things. Like, yeah, I'm not, you know? And so I've always kind of went against the tide of a lot of the things that people would claim as masculine, you know? You know, the bro type stuff is just not me at all. I don't drive a huge pickup truck and like, you know, act all tough guy stuff and like, you know, try to pick fights for no reason or whatever, or the testosterone, you know, limits just hit their max. It's like I'm not like that. And I avoid being like that.
Which, thank God.
Yeah. It's just I just don't think it's a very good thing. And I'm sure there's people out there that enjoy being around people like that. Good for you. But for me, yeah, it's like it's a real like that's not what I want to be about because a lot of it is feeding off, yes, the masculinity. Because I know I am not the stereotype. I don't, even though people might think I'm strong enough to do certain things, I'm not. I mean, I can recall back in high school, 20s for sure, even 30s. There were multiple times people asked me, hey, do you lift weights? Like, do you lift a lot of weights? I'm like, no, I don't lift any weights. Really? Because your shoulders are huge. Right. Because now later I found out I was lifting everything with my neck muscles that were there and my shoulder in here. So it's like I had this like stack of muscles like right behind the neck. And it looked like I was doing like probably squats like
You're
every day.
jacked. Yeah.
Just jacked up. And I'm like, but my arms are like, you know, this big.
Yeah.
Well, it's just an odd, you know, shape or odd thing. But when people see the
Right.
frame, they make this judgment, you know. So when people see the way your let's lack of a better term, like less expression, right, in your face than others, you get negative responses like of like, what's the matter? I know we talked about the airplane version of that, but even more recently.
It's been a little bit, but I would get like people would think I'd have Botox,
Oh yeah, sure.
and so it's like, do you have Botox? And that's something that I like, it triggered me. I like had a really hard like I'd go and then I'd cry because I was like, it is like my biggest insecurity, even more so than like the wheelchair. I think the biggest reason is I'm like, I don't want to look like I'm pissed off all the time. Like, I'm actually having a pretty good time. You wouldn't know it, but I'm having a good time. So, that I'm still kind of learning how to navigate that, because it is like it hits me hard when that happens. So, still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably need a little bit of therapy on that one. I'm
Yeah.
about to get through that. But yeah, definitely one that I think about a lot. So to answer you, I'm still working on
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. I get it. I feel like I mentioned all my little story there. I'm thinking I'm working on a lot of things as well, you know, how to cope with people's questions and how they ask us like what we have. There
Yeah.
was, you've mentioned faith, you've mentioned prayer. How important is that in your life?
Yeah, it's super important. We're not like, I'd say that I'm more spiritual than religious. Like, I'm not a big, I am not a denominational Christian. I do it my own way, and that's just kind of having my own personal relationship with God. And so I just talk to God a lot, and my husband, he has gotten more into that recently. So just talking to him about it as well. But I'm a big prayer, I love to pray and just talk to God. And I think that's what's gotten me through the last little bit where I said I've gone through that dark time. And I think the positive thoughts, along with just knowing that I'm not alone and I can pray about things, that has gotten me through.
For sure. Yeah, I've had quite a few guests that have said similar things. And if it's, I think you brought it up perfectly there, you know, maybe more spiritual than religious. And I can probably lean in that, even though if I had to say or answer a question, what are you? I guess I'm Catholic, I guess. But, you know, I don't know if I follow those rules. But I do believe in God. I do believe in Jesus. I do believe in these things and, you know, all that. And it does help. But, you know, sometimes I forget like that tool is in my tool chest to use that in situations of stress. Do you find that, or do you find that quickly that you do respond with the prayer and a positive thought, you know, using that way?
I think I used to be more that way, and honestly, I've had times where I was pissed off. Like, I don't understand. Like, what did I do to deserve this? Like, why did I get this set of cards? Like, why me? I'm pissed at you because you have this power, and why do I deserve this? And I've just gotten to the point that I'm like, it's not God's fault, and I think that I can use it for more. And I think that I've inspired a lot of people to talk about things and do hard things because of what they have seen me go through. And to me, that's worth it in a way. Like that, and that sounds crazy, but I'm like, to it's deep in my core, I want to help people. And so if it's like, if that's my way, then, and my husband is always like, you have just changed me. And I don't think I would have done that without this disease. And I also don't know that I would have, like, who knows if I even would have ended up with him. And like, thank God I did.
You bring up an interesting point that we've kind of touched on in many conversations. Like, it's almost like you hate to say it, but there's parts of you that go, it's not really grateful, but you really try to choose your words carefully. But it's like, if I didn't have this disease, like if I didn't have this disease, Kendra, I'm not meeting you. There's no way. We're not having a conversation. I'm not having this podcast. My podcast would be what it was, you know, when I started 17 years ago, and it was absolutely ridiculous stuff, right? And it's just
I'm gonna have to
all
look into
self-serving,
that.
funny things. Oh my gosh, it was ridiculous. Anyway, so it changed me to the point where I really believe I became more empathetic. I became less judgmental. I kind of was
Absolutely.
more looking at someone if it was as drastic as wheelchair situations or just walk different or had a cane. I'm like, oh man, I wonder what they're dealing with. And then immediately I go, I wonder if they have what I have, or I wonder if they have something similar, or how do they live? And now I'm looking at them more of a resource to help me, and maybe like a common person to go, hey, we might have something in common. How can we help each other? More than like a judgment. Oh, what's wrong with that person? You know, and I know Jerk Tim back in the day would have been like, what's with that guy? You know, the FSHD has definitely opened my eyes to people are dealing with a lot of stuff and many things, and you know, be a little more empathetic, you know, what people are going through. I think so. It's like to what you said with like Justin saying to you, you know, that maybe the disease, right? Is that how you guys met? Did the FSHD help you meet?
No, actually, we met. I was dating, I laugh a little bit because I was dating his friend.
What?
And so we
Oh yeah, that's
met.
funny. Is
We
he still
met.
friends with the guy? No,
No.
I didn't think so. Okay, sorry,
Yeah.
that was funny.
So We all went swimming one time, and that's how we like officially met. We actually went to high school together,
Okay.
but he ran in a different crowd. He was kind of a little troublemaker.
Oh boy.
And so we just like didn't really run into each other. So that's how we officially met. And then me and this kid broke up, and then Justin and I started talking like a year later.
Okay. So there was some
So
buffer there.
nothing sketchy.
Nothing sketchy.
I mean, maybe like a tiny bit sketchy,
Okay.
but the fact that we met each other through friends, that part's weird, but
Right. Oh, it happens, right? Your
just
circles
happens.
collided a couple times.
Right,
You get it,
exactly. Yeah,
right? There was a
but
grace period there, and all
there
ends
was a
well.
grace period. So we didn't meet because that because of friends, but like 2 weeks in, and I think this is like what I talked about is how I became more self-conscious over time because of things that people had said. I was very like, I'm going to tell you that I have FSH very early on
Okay.
because if it's too much for you, then I'd rather not do this. Like I'm not really
Lay it out there.
trying to just like date for a little bit and then break up when it's too much for you. So I just told him like 2 weeks in, I was like, I have FSH. I might be in a wheelchair one day. I might not be able to have kids. And he was amazing about it. He was like, you're gonna have to use a manual wheelchair so that I can push you.
Wow, that's a good response.
And he's kind of like a jokester, so you know it's like, he kind of jokes about it, but then he's like very sweet and genuine about it. So, and he, yeah, that's part of the reason he cries is him.
Oh, that's and that's the partner that you need, right? The one that is going to counteract if you feel down, they're going to lift you. And then vice versa. I'm sure he gets frustrated too with what you have to deal with, and I'm sure you probably end up lifting him up when you're the person, right, that's dealing with the with the one thing. And
Yeah,
so obviously his response was a positive because you're together still.
absolutely. And then, I mean, I was affected far sooner. Like, I was in a wheelchair a lot earlier than I expected to. So, I mean, to be able to fully commit to that and not walk away when things got hard, like, I think just speaks volumes to his character. Because I don't think it's not super easy. And you know, it is a partnership where we both just accept each other, you know, and it's we get through the hard things. And I think our relationship has just grown so much because of it, you know, and we also just continue to work on ourselves, and in turn, our relationship improves. But it's hard. Like, I can only imagine how hard it is for him. And he touches on it not very often, but like, I know how hard it is for him.
Yeah,
But
love makes it difficult for sure, right? Didn't love you or barely like you, it's not a big deal. But the more they get invested, the more difficult it becomes.
Absolutely.
So the relationship obviously grows. It sounds like you both share some type of, spiritual strength growth in there. You said something in another, and I can't remember if it was, it could have been in the blog, it could have been in maybe one of your just social media posts, but I think it was from someone else that told you and said, do you have enough faith if to not be cured? I found that very interesting and kind of wanted to get your take on that sentence because it's very profound.
So we I it's actually a family doctor. He had a son that had muscular dystrophy, and he had Duchenne, and I mean they threw everything at it. He was in, I believe, his 20s, which is, you know, Duchenne is typically you don't have a super high
No,
life
life expectancy.
expectancy. So he and that's actually not what killed him. But in his dad, in his talk, has, you know, he talked about his faith, and then he said, but do you have the faith to not be cured? And maybe that's partly why I've gotten a little bit closer with God, is just that I'll never forget it. Like, just how it's like, you know what? Yeah, like, I pray so much to be cured. But what if that's not meant for me? Like, do I have the faith to trust in him that I'm meant for more with this disease and not without it?
Wow.
So that is, yeah, it, I just, yeah,
That
I,
is, yes.
it's
Yeah.
deep. It's deep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, I, yeah. It, and I don't even know if he knows how much of an F he's on. He's my friend on Facebook. So yeah, he did see it and he commented.
Yeah.
I don't know if he realizes how much of an effect that had on me. This is like, maybe that's not meant for me. And that's okay. And you know what? I hope it is. I still hope it is.
Well, sure.
But
Yeah. Yeah, we want
yeah.
that for everybody.
But
Yeah.
yeah. But maybe it's not meant for me.
But yet, we all still, do our best to, yes, cope with the disease we have, but also fight for if it's a cure or fundraise or those types of things. Some of us get more involved than others. I know you're helping out with the walk and roll a little bit, getting awareness out at the very least. And then you have a fundraising platform that you're working with. Because the walk and roll, because this will be aired before that. So the walk and roll in Idaho, you said, is at Eagle Point Park, right?
Yes.
And the
Yeah,
27th
correct.
of September.
Yep.
So I guess talk about what you know about it, I guess, about where it is and any details you could share, because I know you're not
Yeah.
exactly necessarily you boots on the ground involved, but you are a part of it to some degree.
Yes. Yeah. So, my mom has a coworker who is actually running it, and had a conversation, and she found out that FSH runs in our family, and she has some experience with FSH, so that's why she's running it. But she, so her and my mom got to talking. They've known each other for a while. And then she let my mom know that she is start doing this walk and roll and wanted to see if my mom wanted to get involved. And so then I've just kind of been helping a little bit here and there and trying to get sponsors and raffle items and donations. So, and then to go back to the details of it, it's in Ammon, Idaho, September 27th from 1 to 3. And this is, I didn't really know what all went into it, but we just do a little walk around the park, and then we're going to do a raffle and just try to raise some money and awareness for a cure. And I do have a personal page where I am accepting donations,
Nice.
and yeah, I've had some amazing people who have donated, which has been really nice.
And what's your goal? Do you have a financial goal? Sometimes we
Oh
like to get
gosh,
competitive
I,
about it.
yeah, the goal for the entire walk is $10,000.
Okay.
And then I had a personal goal, and I honestly can't tell you what I set it at because I changed it a couple of times.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
I did meet the goal, but I'm, you know,
Nice.
I'm like, I'll
Then you got to
keep
keep upping
going.
it. Yeah,
Yeah, I
yeah.
know. I need to up it again. Yeah,
Yeah.
we'll say 3,000. I'll
Okay.
up it to the
We'll blow that
3,000.
out of the water after this. Yeah. So everybody's
Yeah,
on the
there
team.
we go.
Yes, absolutely. No, it's awesome to be, it is. It is good to be a part of it. I know a lot of it too is just the meeting people at those events. Either that have the disease or at least know why they're there and you have that commonality. It's like a, kind of a community-based thing. And it's very grassroots, and that's why I like those events. FSHD Society itself does whatever they can to help those that are running those to make it easy as possible. So it's more encouraging them to, have them. But we have a lot of them going on, yeah, during the month of September, especially the last couple of days of September. So that's the one in Idaho. So
Great.
yeah, I definitely wanted to spotlight that because it's
Yeah,
important.
thank you.
Yeah,
Yeah,
for sure.
absolutely. Yeah, anything that we can do to raise money for a cure is awesome. And there's so much good stuff going on right now, so many amazing studies. So fingers crossed that
Yes,
one of
yes.
them gets it done.
Yeah, that those prayers that we're all been praying that maybe they do get answered. We'll see, right?
Yeah,
But
we'll
yeah,
see.
we'll
See.
see. But at least we're doing something about it. You're right. The positive news I hear it happens a lot faster than it did when I first started, working with FSHD Society 10 plus years ago. There wasn't really anything going on, and then all of a sudden, now lately, there's one post after another. It feels like. in a given quarter of a year, like, hey, this is happening and this is happening, like, whoa, okay, this is good. So we have to keep pushing, hard, get people to know what's going on, fundraise, get active if you can. And if you want to, it's not for everybody, but if you're pushing to do it, do it.
I know, but one who's putting it on, I'm like, good for you, because it's some effort, it
is.
takes a little bit to get into it. So I'm like, yeah, good for you, girl. Because I've always thought about doing it and I just haven't. So this is like my way to, try to help them. But good for the people that put it on.
That's tough. I get it. Totally. I don't know if I'm that guy, but I'll support the people that are. Yes. So last question for you. This has been an amazing conversation, by the way. Someone that's recently diagnosed, I ask this a lot, because I think everyone's perspective is, everybody I've asked this to is always a little different. But if someone is, recently diagnosed, stumble upon this episode, and they have your, they have your attention, Kendra, and like they listen to you, what kind of advice would you give that person if they're just walking into this world?
I would say this is going to be hard. You can do it. The thing about people that have FSH is they are resilient as hell, and you are going to be too. I would say find your support system, find someone that you can lean on, and that might be a friend or family member. It might be therapy. You're going to need the help a little bit to get through it because, there is progression with it. But also just don't let it win. I saw this chick who got diagnosed with epilepsy, and she said, I have epilepsy, but epilepsy doesn't have me. And that was super powerful for me. So I kind of like use that for MD as well, of I have FSHD, but FSHD does not have me. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is not letting it rule you. Still experiencing those emotions and sitting in them, like I mentioned in the beginning, but not living in them, and just learning how to get through that and join groups. There are Facebook groups, and that has been super helpful because people are going through the same thing that you're going through, and it's a place to have that support and advice on how to get through things. Sometimes it's about tools, which you gotta use tools, it helps you get through it. So that'd be my biggest thing, is I think the support that'll get you through it.
That's good advice. I like it. It's hard, but you can do it. All
It's
right.
hard. You can do it.
You can do it.
Yep, exactly.
One of my nuggets I'm just stealing from you. Man, that's fantastic. Well, thank you, Kendra, for being here.
Thank you so much.
I'll definitely keep in touch. Might have you back on. You never know. There's always more to talk about from one guest to the next, and see maybe how you're doing in the future, because I'm definitely going to have these episodes reoccur once in a while, like kind of a where are they now, right? kind of person. So I'll definitely keep in
And
touch.
I'd love to keep you posted on the personal trainer. And then I'm also starting a travel blog. So I would love to be back to talk about that in a while.
Okay, then
Okay.
we're
Awesome.
definitely noting it for sure.
Okay.
We'll have you back.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thanks,
Sounds
Kendra.
great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
That is Kendra from Idaho. Man, great conversation. I have met some amazing people. She's one of those for sure. I've not talked to her prior to this, and having her on this episode, it was just like the things I found about the amazing things that she's done. She's had the blog for a while, and then she kind of went away from it. And that happens, you feel inspired for the moments, and then you move on. But the things you can still give people with those times that you had it is still powerful. And the things I found and read about were just that. I love all the takeaways. Sit in those negative moments, don't live in them. That is hugely profound. The grateful for mantra, it sounds like she kind of has, like, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that. Count and think about those things. To me, it's almost like the mindset of, I don't have to do this, I get to do this. Like, I get to be this host of this podcast. I don't have to do it. I get to meet these amazing people that I would not normally have ever talked to if it wasn't for the common thread of FSH. Without that, I'm not. Don't even know this existed prior, obviously, until I was diagnosed and opened up a whole world of people that I would have never met. And what I've confined in my experiences of talking to so many people within this community is resilience, great adapters, very gritty, not quitters. I'm not a fan of quitting at all, obviously. I'm a coach. I don't like to quit. I think quitting is convenient. I think quitting is the one of the most negative things you can do. Sometimes you have to stop something. That's different than quitting it. And I've found that the people that have come on this podcast are not quitters. They might stop something and then convert and do something else and adapt and move forward. Or use another tool or use prayer as something to help them get through, but they get through it. They don't quit it. And that's, I think, what's always been inspiring to me, getting those kind of positive stories. I loved how Kendra talked about her husband, Justin. Good for you, Justin. Sounds like a great man. And having people like that in your lives, I hope everyone does have at least one Justin in their life, because it sounds like that person is helping Kendra quite a bit. And that's a great life partner to have. Other things of just, the how do you address the people that are kind of the bullies with wondering what you have? There's so many immature people in this world that if you look a little different or act a little different or walked a little different, well, you are ostracized to some degree, or you're pointed out, or the bullies are still there. They don't only live in the school hallways. I mean, they're out in the world. They grew up at some point. At least their bodies did, but they still have the immaturity of a bully. And to me, call them out and make sure you're with the right tribe of people within this community we have, and they'll support you. It is a tough and ugly world for those types of people that struggle with things. And when they're more visible, it's more of a struggle. And then you have to just combat those types of people in your everyday life that don't understand that you have your something. I've seen some people that seem to get so over the top about a small issue or problem, or they're very negative, or whatever the case may be. And I really hate to say it, but sometimes I think, what they need is a kind of a tragedy. It's sad to think that, but I kind of do, because it shakes you. It wakes you up to what's real. FSHD was, it's hardly a tragedy for me, but it's definitely an awakening. I talked about it in this episode, and I think everybody has to have an experience like that. And when it comes, you should be aware of it, because I think sometimes they happen to you and we just let it pass by and not using it as a way to be better. Kendra has taken this, the loss of her brother, the relationships now that she's gained from it, all these things that have happened in her life, and she's working through it, admittedly, all the time. But the courage to come on this podcast, the courage to have this interview to talk about these things, and I think she brought it to us to hopefully help anyone else that's struggling. So if you find her on Facebook, social, et cetera, she's a great person to follow out there. She puts great things out, great positive things. Please, look that up. Find her old blog posts. Those are very interesting as well. And participate in her fundraiser with the Idaho Walk and Roll. And yes, that's part of the country I have to visit. Anyway, if you want to be on the show, very important, FSHD Radio at FSHDSociety.org. A lot of the guests as of late have been coming on because they've reached out to me. I have some I've been reaching out to, and some that have used that email have reached out to me. I've reached out to you and you're not answering me. Please respond to the email I've sent you. I want to book a time and set up a conversation, and let's have an episode together. So I'm looking forward to that. FSHD Radio at FSHDSociety.org. If you want to be a guest, if you want a topic that we haven't talked about to make sure we talk about, please do that. And of course, thank you for the FSHD Society for helping out again on this podcast. Aaron and Ann, who do a lot of the back end help of editing and so forth. You don't see them, but they're always at work. They always put the episodes out in a fantastic way. I really appreciate them and everything that they do to get this thing launched every time an episode is released. So thank you to them. Thank you to all those walk and rollers out there, the people that are either running it, participating in it, trying to get funds. You are heroes. Keep it up. I love your work ethic, and you just absolutely bury the needle to the positive direction of funds being raised year after year after year. So thank you for all of that. You want to find out more about FSHD Society, go to fshdsociety.org and check it out. Plus all the new things that are on that website. So many things to get involved with and so many things to click on, especially if you want to be part of some type of, you know, study or, you know, drug development, what's going on. It is the hub, in my opinion, to get that information. So thanks again all for joining me. Please follow the show at FSHD Straight Talk. You can find it anywhere you find your podcasts, including Spotify, Google, I believe. Maybe it's on an Apple stuff. I don't know. But pretty much anywhere you find it, I'm there. And like I mentioned in this episode, you might find some of my old shows way back in the long, long, long time ago. I'm not telling you what those titles are, though. That's definitely something I don't want to open up. Anyway, so thank you again for being on the show, and Kendra, and thank you all for listening to the show and being here and spending some time with me yet again. And I appreciate you all. Take care. You've been listening to the FSHD Straight Talk Podcast.